Welcome to the Ann Levine Show. It's Tuesday, September 21st.
Yeah, sorry.
2021. And, hey, it's the end of summer. So, y'all know how happy that makes me.
Yeah.
I call this nervous breakdown day. Every year, this day comes, and I feel like the world is ending. And that's actually kind of true this year.
Yeah, it actually kind of is.
And
we're getting closer to it anyway.
In addition to that, you know what I want to do? I want to say Shalom lekulam ba'aretz, la mishpacha sheli, la chaberim sheli. I had to take a moment there to wish my friends and family in Israel a happy new year, a good signature for Yom Kippur, and just hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, so summer's over.
Yeah, it really
this
is.
This is a song about summer being over.
The boys of summer, when they're gone.
They're gone.
They're out of here.
Well, our boys of summer keep going and going.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do that.
Going. I mean, now that the World Series is like a Christmas event.
The World Series COVID keeps pushing stuff back, too, you know.
But it's always been October.
Yeah. No, I agree, yeah.
Late October, it's been lately. Well, I'm glad the boys of summer aren't gone. At least there's a little bit left.
Mm-hmm.
We had a delightful break fast.
We did, didn't we? That was good.
With very close friends. So that came out lovely.
Yeah,
and Michael
really
made
well.
A kugel that they have not stopped discussing.
Yeah. Well, it turned out pretty good.
It was funny. Yeah. Someone said, noodles, sugar, and butter. Who the funk?
Yeah.
And it's so true. I mean, what could go wrong?
Eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
eggs,
could go wrong?
Butter. Oh, yeah. It was great.
It was so tender.
Really good, yeah.
It was a tender kugel.
It was a tender kugel.
It was a light kugel.
Yeah.
You know, when you buy a kugel from the grocery store,
there's
and I'm not naming names, whisper of cinnamon?
Yeah, right?
I always put a whisper of nutmeg, but
that's
me.
Yeah.
That's me. That makes it a Mizrahi kugel. No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. No, you'd have to put hel. You'd have to put in several spices, I won't do Middle East spice education right now.
Right, okay, yeah.
You can thank me in the spring.
Could make one, like a savory one with za'atar
or something like that.
That would
when
be...
I taste a potato kugel
that
weighs a pound per inch.
Yeah.
Per square inch.
Yeah, that's the good stuff,
that
really.
That stuff is like, what is it that's so heavy? What metal?
Lead?
No, there's a metal that's like so heavy that if there's a square inch of it on a table, like lifting it up is so different.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know the metal that you're speaking of, actually.
Are you aware that there is a metal?
I am aware that there are metals.
Proportions and densities?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Are you aware that some metals are heavier than others?
Yeah, it's osmium.
And how?
It's weighs twice as much lead per teaspoon.
Right.
That's the heaviest, one of the heaviest materials on Earth.
All right. Well, I have had kugel that was made in an osmium factory. And it's heavier than osmium.
Yeah.
Potato kugels and savory noodle Kugels.
Yeah. See, that's
and sometimes
be really good.
Even a sweet Kugel. And again, I'm not naming names.
Right, yeah. No, why would you?
Why would I?
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a public safety issue, so you don't really have to, you know. If it were, you know, it would be a good idea
it's
if you started...
It's a personal safety issue.
Yeah, right.
It's one of
yeah.
those things where, you know, you might sit down at someone else's home. This is not served in my home.
Mm-hmm. Not naming any names,
and
yeah.
you might have a bite of, well, maybe two, because it tastes good-ish. And then...
At least not bad-ish.
And then by the end of the meal, you think... Was ist los?
Mm-hmm.
Did I eat osmium?
Right, yeah.
You know, you can feel
it's a real concern.
It. You can feel it like pressing down.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
Anyway, yeah. You made a delight.
Yeah, it turned out good.
And we had a classic meal.
Wonderful bagels.
A bagel and lox, a green yeah. salad, pickles and olives, kugel. And then a fruit tart.
Yeah, a fruit tart.
Excuse me.
And some wonderful rugelach.
Yep.
So, and that disappeared too. So that.
Well, I went back to clean and I went into the room where we had dessert set up.
Yeah.
And I thought,
the tart got vaporized.
Well, that's what I was about yeah. to say is I went to like. I thought, I got to make sure that tart is put away.
Right, yeah.
And not, doesn't accidentally get left in here for the night.
Exactly.
Whoosh.
Yeah,
empty
gone.
Empty plate.
Oof.
Empty plate. So anyhow, what did that lead me to? The upcoming holidays.
Yeah. We got that happening.
Well, we have... Michael, what is it? It's your giveaway. It's your holiday.
Mike's Giving? That's
we're
what we're calling it this
Mike's
year.
Mike's Giving.
Yeah.
And could you tell us a little bit more about
well, Mike's
what...
Giving this year is all about the wonderful world of the awful.
Well, now
and,
that our
and by,
listeners
and
have all
that,
turned off their
I
radios.
Mean, I mean, bad art.
Ah!
Yes, because there's a lot of it.
Well, and I have to say,
some
a
of
lot
the worst
of bad
can
art,
be really,
bad art
really great. So.
Is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to thinking about this because last year during Monica, we got the book from Artemis Buffington about the Museum of Bad Art, which is a place
I have always wanted to
it's
visit.
It's just up the road from here, actually. You know, it's near Boston, so it's not that far away. And you know what? I just thought it was a really good idea. And
well,
there's a lot of it out there. So
there is.
I think we should spread the word about how wonderful bad art is.
Well, you know? It brings me so much joy. So much joy. And I think it will bring a lot of our listeners a lot of joy.
Yeah, I
for
agree
two
too.
Reasons.
Oh, okay. Let's hear what the reasons are.
First
before
of
I start
all,
agreeing with things.
The Museum of Bad Art
yeah.
is in the basement of the Somerville Theater.
Right, yeah.
Now, the Somerville Theater is a place that
that's right.
might interest some of our listeners because it is where Ronna and Beverly's last shows took place.
Yeah, we with the show with Eugene Merman, and we were at this show at the
right,
Somerville
and
Theater.
There were
yeah.
other ones. I think that didn't Andrea and Jose meet at the Somerville Theater?
I do not know, but
I don't know. But anyway,
we do have a large group of people who listen to the show who came to us from the Ronna and Beverly world. So right. That's cool. Yeah.
Well, anyhow, the Museum of Bad Art is too fabulous now.
Yeah.
Because it's nearby, I have a friend who went there years ago and was inspired.
Very nice.
And
yes.
He made here on the Cape the Room of Bad Art.
Yes, he sure did.
And it was
it's a great room.
It was my favorite room to hang out in. And it was one of the, he had like a living room inside and then like a screened in porch.
Yeah, it was really
partly screened in porch.
Right, glass.
And one wall of it. And that's where the Museum of Bad Art was.
Yeah.
And you could sit on that screened in porch, which was winterized.
That's right. Yeah, it was very nice.
Enabling one to sit there also in winter.
Yes.
And look at, I've mentioned
one of the worst
before.
Seascapes. He's got one of the most awful seascapes, and I just love it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And my favorite piece was a found objects installation.
Mm-hmm.
It was a large piece of driftwood in kind of a paddle shape.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a doll head, which had washed up on the sea. Covered in barnacles.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Making it the scariest, most effed up thing you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Which was placed on one end of this piece of driftwood.
Well, yeah, I mean, like,
and hung on the wall.
It's beautiful.
And I could look at that thing forever.
Yeah.
There was a massive painting.
Right?
Yeah, of a conquistador.
Very nice size, that one.
Just incredible. Just incredible. It was an amazing collection.
Yeah.
And then he moved. Damn it.
Yeah, he's now, far away now. So.
We inherited a couple of pieces.
We did.
And Michael, who has such an eye for bad art.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well,
yes,
you do.
Yeah, I do.
I mean,
I do
it's
love
so
it.
Funny when we look at things and I say, that's bad. And you'll say, oh, no, that's very bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the worst.
I mean, I do like to do it myself from time to time. So.
And Michael has the best eye in general for photography. He's an artist. So saying he has the best eye for bad art just means he's got a good eye.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes,
I
think it's
kidding.
My left one.
Oh, stop it. I'm not kidding.
No, thank you. No, I think I do. I really do. I think I have a pretty good eye for...
Well, anyway.
Certainly for awful things.
So we've gotten off the
yeah, so anyway,
gone
so
off
we've got
the rails.
The bad art.
So
that's the sort of the theme.
Michael will be awarding.
That's right, some treasures.
The best of bad art.
That's right. We have some
Mike's
wonderful
giving.
Pieces that we will be awarding for Mike's giving. And I still have to figure out what I want people to do in order to receive these things. What do you think? What does everybody else think?
I don't know. What do our listeners think should be the contest for bad art? And by the way, sometimes bad art can be an ACEO. And for those of you who don't know what that is, I'm not going to get into it except to say that it's a piece of art that's about 3 by 4 inches.
Yeah, right. I mean, it doesn't have to be a huge thing.
For those of you in Europe or elsewhere on the planet,
that's right.
You are eligible. This is not like a shipping thing.
Won't be a nightmare.
No.
So, yeah, we're good with that.
So, we've got something for everyone.
We sure do.
Now, we want you to enter, and we want someone, or actually we want everyone to help us figure out,
yeah,
you know, what the contest is.
What is the contest anyway, really? That's what we want to know.
And so that's Mike's giving, and then there will be, combined with that, some Monica.
Right, yeah, because Hanukkah's coming up just after that, or right around the same time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Thanksgiving is the 25th, and Hanukkah starts on the 28th.
Yeah, see? There you go.
And goes through just the first weekend of December.
And then Christmas, and who knows what's going to happen there. So, you know.
Probably the usual nothing.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm good with that.
Which is how we celebrate, yeah. But...
Well, we do bring out the tree. We have our Christmas tree.
You have to post
a
picture of the Christmas tree.
Yeah, I will, because it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
You have to. Oh, I want to say now in that art that we're including sculpture.
Right, yeah.
In the category.
Can be a draw. It might be a drawing. It may be a sculpture. It may be... A painting.
There are different things, you know. There are several prizes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when it comes to Monica, Hanukkah this year is so... I am feeling it.
Are you?
I don't. Okay. I never get this.
You got the
excited
feeling.
Excited about Hanukkah. I never do. You know why? For one thing, it's no big whoop in the Jewish holiday calendar.
Right, yeah, it's really not that much of a thing.
The big whoops are happening now. We had Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, and Yom Kippur.
And then now we have Simchat Torah. We have Sukkot. We have Sukkot, my favorite holiday to bash.
Yeah, go out in the shed.
You sit in a grass hut and eat. For a week.
Yeah, but you know, it's...
But you know what it's called, the hut? A booth.
A booth, yeah.
And it's called the Holiday of Booths.
The Holiday of
and
Booths.
And I want someone... There's got to be some Jew with some know-how somewhere that could do this.
What is... Okay, yeah.
Or it doesn't have to be a Jew. But I'm thinking this may have been done...
Okay.
Where they build a sukkah, which is the booth or the hut or the shed that's outside your house.
Right, yeah.
That you eat in and get diner booths.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so instead of setting up a table and chairs, which is what people do.
Just bring in the booth with the chair, the benches and the table all put together and just bring it in.
Now.
Slide it right in there.
I think that would be fabulous.
Yeah, no, I
want to eat in there every night.
What is what is that wonderful movie? I can't.
That's what I'm about to say.
Okay,
this is a must watch.
Yeah, yeah, it's we've seen it. Well, we watch it every year. So
this is a must watch for our listeners who are on the must watch movie program.
Yeah, those of you who are keeping track.
It's called Ush Pezin.
That's it.
And that is spelled U-S-H-P-E-Z-I-N.
Yeah, you got to see it. It's great.
You can get it. It's on Netflix or Amazon. It's on.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's a wonderful movie and about Sukkot and what we've just been talking about. It's
And it's also so cool. About people from a lot.
Right.
And I'm not going to say anything further about that, except if you want to know what my homies...
yeah.
If you want to know what my Israeli town was famous for...
Uh-huh.
It's people like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
It would be... Now, for me, that would be people from Kent, Washington.
Well, for me, it would be people from, like, the Jersey Shore.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's pretty similar. Okay. The chances are one of them's got a Trans Am. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, Ushpezin, U-S-H-P-E-Z-I-N.
Yeah, you need to see it. It is so good.
We will put that up somewhere for you.
Yeah.
To...
And then you can find it and watch it. So we did, speaking of watching, we did watch other things.
We did. We watched All the Way.
We did watch it. Yeah.
All the Way's been out a few years. One thing about it that's wonderful and sad is that Steven Root is in it.
Yeah. Yeah, as J. Edgar Hoover.
Amazing.
Yeah, this is a story about
it's about LBJ. And it's an incredible story about getting the Civil Rights Bill passed.
Right.
And Bryan Cranston as LBJ is a miracle.
He was incredible.
I mean, I absolutely, I have the vaguest, I don't even know if you can call them memories. I mean, LBJ is in my rear view mirror.
Right, yeah. Yeah, mine
because
too.
Because of the Kennedy shooting and a whole bunch of stuff that's so iconic.
Yeah.
From
well, and then, of course, there's the Civil Rights, you know, Act
our
and
culture.
Stuff like that. So.
Right. Things that came later.
Yeah.
And, you know, he never ran for office. He ran for office once.
Right.
Which just, was right after he was installed post-JFK's murder.
Right.
And then he ran once and won in an incredible election. And after that, he was flipped out by Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah,
and
he was.
And he said he was not going to run again.
No, it was a bad thing that we got into, and he inherited a lot of insanity, really,
yes,
in the world.
Yes, he did.
As president.
And he also left an incredible pile of poo-poo for Nixon to deal with and make the world a worse place.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he did a real good job with that.
Anyway, this movie is fantastic.
Yeah. You should see it.
It was a play on Broadway. It has a cast of thousands.
A lot of recognizable people
in
it.
I mean, Frank Langella.
Bradley Whitford.
Bradley, yes.
From the West Wing. He was Hubert Humphrey.
And perfect, actually.
He really was great. He looked a lot like him.
Which made me feel very
ill. Upsetting, actually, yeah.
Yeah, very disturbing.
Think of someone who's probably a little younger than we are.
Never mind!
Yeah.
Nothing to
okay.
see here.
Right, nothing, nothing to, yeah.
Great.
Let's move on.
Movie.
Yeah.
Great American history lesson. And great civil rights, really important movie, I would say.
And how politics works, really. There, you know, all the handshaking and the backslapping and the backstabbing and the whole deal. It was really very interesting.
The bribery.
Yeah, the coercion, the everything that goes on. It was...
And
it was really interesting.
No, air quotes, this stuff, but we don't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is a great movie to have like a real inner look.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And Bryan Cranston was just amazing.
Fantastic. So we saw that.
Right. Good one.
I watched a Dana Carvey special from 2008.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's called Squatting Monkeys Tell No Lies.
Well, I guess I can't really argue with that. So I like Dana Carvey, actually. He's really very
funny.
Well,
I'm obsessed by Dana Carvey. one of the things I urge you to do if you like listening to podcasts is listen to the Conan Needs a Friend episodes with Dana Carvey on them.
Okay.
And he did a series of them. There are about six of them.
Cool.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, Dana Carvey is hilarious. He is his impressions can be just so spot on.
That's what he does on Conan.
Mm-hmm.
He does all these different people, and he does them talking to one another.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Incredible.
Yep. Yeah, I love Dana. I don't know as I'd seen that special. I've probably seen one that's he's done since then, but...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not that one. So I'll have to look at that.
He was doing a really funny riff on Barack Obama, who had just been elected. And you know, his name, Barack Hussein Obama.
Right, well...
And he was saying, you know, that's like... saying, oh, well, and I'd like you to meet my son, Charles Manson Hitler.
Well,
I think he would be an excellent candidate for president.
Yeah, yes, of course, Charles Manson Hitler. I love that. And
I know, but Hussein?
I know. It threw a lot of people off. They did not like it.
But, Obama? You know.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole that name definitely.
Yeah.
I'll never forget saying, no one's going to elect a black guy with that name.
Yeah,
Dad.
It sounds
You're wrong.
too much like Osama. Yeah, it's, yeah. And Hussein, that's obviously Arab.
Yep.
So we can't have that guy.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
If you love Dana Carvey, watch this or cool. any of his specials. I mean, the thing about this one is it's from 2008. So there's a lot of stuff in there about George Bush.
Uh-huh. Probably one of his best impressions, actually.
Senior.
Oh, okay.
And junior. George H.W.
Right, the walker and George Jr., the drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
And W. So both of them are prominent in this particular piece of stand-up. It was a great reminder, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was free of the orange fart that was in office before.
Yeah, that's kind of nice, right?
So it was before all of... that.
Right.
Before everything went to hell in the handcart. Well, I can now say that I am old enough and I have learned enough to realize that all in all, with a few exceptions, it doesn't matter who the president is.
For the most part, yeah.
It makes no
We just
difference.
Until Doofus, it made a difference, you know?
Even that, you know, looking at all the way, I'm thinking, you know, it doesn't. They inherit problems from...
Right, well, from the previous administration, and they pass their own problems
often
along.
And they get their own problems, and sometimes those problems that they inherited, they leave behind anyway.
Yeah, well, that's true,
and
yeah.
And all of it, unless you have a psychopath, which we did for a little while,
right,
is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I have to say that... my IRA has responded favorably to fiscally conservative presidents. However,
right, yeah, that does happen.
I'm not rich enough for that to make big difference.
Oh, yeehaw! I got another $1.60 to spend when
right exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so as your basic you know, American walking around. I don't think I'm a basic American, but yeah, I kind of am.
Well, I mean, we all are sort of in a way, right?
It
but
makes
you're much
no
less basic than most.
Difference. Yeah. And it's funny where you start to speak to older people and you hear that
mm-hmm.
sometimes. Ah, it's all the same. And it's because you get to a point where you've lived long enough and you can look back on your life and the various things that have happened and not happened and then try to assign it to a political party.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree. That's,
and,
yeah.
You know.
Pretty hard to do in retrospect.
You know, I was looking at some, this is, I'm just saying. Okay. Uh-huh. I was looking at some stuff on television about the 80s and about this period of time when the economy really took a dive and things were bad. And I swear to God, and forgive me, but I was sitting here thinking, I don't remember that.
Uh-huh.
Now,
oh, were you in Israel?
No, that's okay. Not why I don't remember it.
Okay, well, it could have been. I, you know, you were in Israel.
No,
in the 80s.
I mean, I was in Israel. Part of the reason I don't remember it was moving to Israel was expensive, and that wasn't an issue.
Right. Okay.
So, do you hear what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying from the like bad, like my bad, because when things were in the dumpster, you know, on the graph on Bloomberg television, it didn't affect my life.
Yeah, right.
That's
I get that.
What I'm saying.
Okay, it did. Right. Well, it didn't affect mine any either. So,
well, that's there you go.
I was in the military.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
And I mean, sadly, you know, when the economy gets good or the economy gets bad, it tends to affect one group of people, and that's the 1%.
Uh-huh.
Now, I am not saying that, you know, we don't need to raise the minimum wage and we don't have a poverty problem in this country. We certainly do. And it's
pretty
horrible.
Bad. Yeah.
And we always have a poverty problem, a homelessness problem, no access to basic things like healthcare. Could you please tell that story that you showed me on TikTok?
I'm not sure which story you're
speaking
of.
It's about medical care, about the guy who...
Oh, yeah, it was a guy who was in Taiwan, and his mother had come over to visit him, and when she was there, she had a gallbladder attack,
mm-hmm.
And they had to take her to the emergency room. So they took her to the emergency room, and she was ultrasounded and all that stuff, and then looked at a doctor, and the doctor said, I think you're going to be okay. We've got some prescriptions for you. I want you to, you know, take these back. And then you need to see the gastroenterologist tomorrow, and then they'll take another good look at you just to make sure, you know, everything's okay. And so they did that, and they gave her prescriptions. She went and got them filled, and the next day goes to the gastroenterologist, who does another ultrasound on her, and gives her some more pills, and says, "You know what? You're fine for now, but I want you to go see your doctor when you get back to the United States." And she said, "Okay." So on their way out, they're going to they stop at the desk, and they're gonna pay their bill. And the person at the desk was extremely apologetic, and they were saying, you know, I'm really sorry, But you know, you're here on a visitor visa, and you're not part of our national health insurance, so there really isn't anything I can do. You have to pay the entirety of the bill. We can't take they can't take any money off. Sorry, but you've got to pay the whole bill. And of course, two doctor visits, the ER visit, a bunch of prescriptions and so on. And they were very sad when they handed over the piece of paper to her with the bill for $121. Yes, $121 in Taiwan for all of that. And it's crazy, isn't it? And of course, his point is, we are really being ripped off here in the United States.
He said, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You or we, how bad we're being ripped off by the government.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even go to the emergency room for $121.
I know. We were laughing.
I mean, you can get through the door, but that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get triaged. You're not going to get seen by a doctor. Nothing's going to happen for $120.
Nope. You know what $120 got me the last time I had to go to the doctor's office?
What was that?
A COVID test.
Yeah, there you go.
A Q-tip in my nose.
Yeah.
Which was then put on a piece of paper that turned a color.
Uh-huh.
That said, you're good. And it was $115.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't, you're not getting anything for $121 medically in the United States. Now, some prescriptions you might be able to get away with for $120.
If you have insurance.
If you have insurance. That's right.
Okay.
So.
Well, we don't need to get into this too much.
No, it was a heck of a story, though. $121. Yep. Wow.
But, yes, and it hasn't made a whole hell of a lot of difference who's been in office.
Yeah, yeah.
The ACA has, when I get a premium payment due for $600, uh-huh, it ticks me off.
Yeah.
Compared to what I was paying in the mid-90s.
Oh, before that? Yeah. And for the care, for the amount of care as well, right?
I was paying, my insurance premium monthly was $1,300.
Right. And you weren't getting anything for that.
No, I wasn't getting anything except entree.
Right. And you weren't getting any prescription benefit. I mean, everything cost you the same amount.
Yeah.
There was no deductible. You were paying all of it.
Exactly. I didn't belong to an HMO or a PPO. Anyway.
No, it's because pre-existing conditions, most insurance companies wouldn't insure you at all.
So this country is a little bit of a disaster. You know what? I'd love to hear from our friends in Australia about what they pay for healthcare.
That would be good. Yeah.
I'd like to know. I mean, I can tell you that what the deal is in Canada and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
In Israel, nothing costs anything.
Yeah, it's national health service. So if you're an Israeli citizen,
I mean, and when I say anything, it's things like what Michael said.
Yeah.
A trip to the ER, including a CAT scan, and being given some pain medication or whatever. Well, we're looking at, $25.
Yeah.
And in Canada, it's free unless you're not a citizen, in which case you're looking at $25.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
I know. And well, you know, the difference in prices is why a lot of Americans are going to Cuba for surgery.
Ugh.
Right? Because they can't, you know, they can go there now and they're doing it because your surgery is going to cost you 2% of what it would cost here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy. So, hey, we have other things to talk about, you know.
I got that impression.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? Emmys?
Yeah, we can talk about the Emmys, right? We saw that.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Television the Met Gala special.
Yes.
And
right, we haven't actually said anything about that on this
show. Except I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think we covered it in almost excruciating detail.
Well, we did cover a lot of stuff, yeah. And for those of you who don't know, there is a podcast of our Met Gala 2021 special that you can find wherever you find your podcast stuff.
And you can, or if you don't subscribe to the Anne Levine Show, which makes no sense.
What are you doing, really? Yeah.
But yeah, if you're one of those people, you can check it out at anneatnight.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes.
So there's
the Met
a lot
Gala,
a lot of fashion.
Followed by the Emmys.
How about that? Yeah. What did you think of that overall?
You know, let's start with the nonsense.
Okay.
And this was at the Met Gala, the same reaction I had. The nonsense that it's all over. We're back to normal.
Right, yeah. Well, that is kind of what it seemed like. They were all like, hey, except, you know, Seth Rogen, who was the first guy who to go up and give an award, one of the first things he said was, there's way too many people in this room.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Well, they had them sitting this year as some kind of, I don't know, new arrangement that was supposed to be better than
more
sitting
socially
cheek by jowl in rows.
Yeah, okay.
They were sitting on couches around cafe tables.
Yeah.
And so each kind of pod was jammed with people.
Right, yep. But you know, I guess you were only infecting your own pod, I suppose, right?
Well, no. I mean, it was indoors.
Yeah.
It was
really
stupid.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. And a lot, like I said, a lot of those people there didn't understand it. But
yeah.
It was 10,000 times better than the virtual thing they tried.
Oh, my God.
The last time.
That was horrible.
Yeah, that was such a horrible waste.
Where you've got people in different locations.
Right, or someone in their pajamas and, you know,
yeah,
in their closet.
Well, that was even the Globes, wasn't it?
That too.
Yeah,
both of them
was
did
like
the
that
virtual thing, yeah.
Well, now everything is, quote, back to
We're
normal.
All better now, yeah.
And I find all of it terrifying.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm not, I am not in agreement with that.
No.
If I'm going in a building that isn't my house, I'm wearing a mask.
Same with me.
And I'm vaccinated, so.
And considering
there
that
go.
I go into every building every day.
Yeah, see?
You know.
All the buildings.
I work my way around to all the buildings.
Yeah.
Near me. I have a lot of masks.
You do, yeah.
The Emmys. So Ted Lasso was the big winner. Everyone's favorite show that I have never seen one second of.
Yeah, I have neither. What is it? Disney Plus, right? So, and we don't have that.
I know. And I don't feel like paying whatever it is. $30
Sports, right? He's a coach or something like that, but he's supposed to be like the nicest guy.
I mean,
on television ever.
Crazy about the show.
Yeah.
And I want to watch it.
Now, it didn't run away with people expected it to run away with everything, but it did not. Jason Sudeikis got Best Actor, and it won Best Comedy, but
it had 20 nominations, which is the most ever.
Right. What was it? Beat Glee, right? Who had
19.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it did win big. 20 nominations and 4 wins.
Right.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
RuPaul's Drag Race won.
He won his 4th Emmy for Best Competition Series.
He looked so fine. Gorgeous tailored blazer, black and white swirl print trouser.
Big brooch.
A big brooch, but just one. And it was black rhinestones.
Yeah, it was cool looking.
So it wasn't... And fantastic eyeglass frames. He looked great. Definitely... the best dressed.
Okay, so let's talk about the other better dressed folks. Who do you think they are?
Better?
Yeah, well, not better than RuPaul, but you know, who were amongst the, you know, in the top 10
of
the best.
Well, Anya Taylor-Joy,
right?
Looked fantastic.
She was in the yellow,
gown.
Yeah. She had a train. She looked really beautiful.
She didn't win, but the director
won.
And his name's Scott Frank. And his speech wouldn't end. And he telegraphed it.
Yeah.
When he got up there and started unfolding his speech, and you started to see, okay, there's one full page. Oh, wait, there's page 2.
Well, you know, he wasn't...
Page 3!
He wasn't actually doing a speech that wasn't, you know, I mean, like an off-the-cuff, or he didn't have notes. He had prose in front of him, and he was going to read all of it.
Pages typed.
Yeah.
And so, 3 times, he got played off, again in quotes. He didn't go anywhere.
No. Well, finally, after the third one,
he did wrap up. But
he just would not stop.
The Crown.
Oh, Olivia Colman did a great thing.
Fantastic.
Because she won, being the second actress to play the same person in the same series to win the Emmy for it.
Yeah.
And next season, Imelda Staunton is going to be the queen, so...
I'm so excited.
They may do like a three-peat.
Well, you know, they had said they were quitting after the Diana years.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh, well, it looks like they've got 2 more seasons coming.
Yeah, people...
Gillian Anderson was nominated... Her Margaret Thatcher was incredible.
It was really great, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And she got the voice so well.
Flawless.
Yeah.
Flawless.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching like some E! Coverage and this dingbat is sitting there going, oh, I couldn't get through The Crown. And I fell asleep. Uh-huh. And which I couldn't believe. However, if you're one of them, do what was suggested to her by the guest hosts that she do, which is drop into the current season, the Diana season.
Yeah.
That everyone is just so fabulous by.
Mm-hmm.
And that will see, you'll recognize...
Right, it's more current. It's actually was part of your life, so you will, you'll be more into it. I agree.
Oh, and you know what? Josh O'Connor, who played young Prince Charles, he also picked up an Emmy.
Good for him, yeah.
The Crown did great. But anyway, drop into the current season. You're going to love it. And then you've got the 4 seasons. You can go back
yeah,
and look at is the history of what you've just
right, a
watched.
Flashback. Yeah.
If you need
to. You might need to. I don't know.
If you haven't seen it, it's fantastic.
It is. It is really great. And, same thing. And Olivia was just amazing.
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet.
One for mayor, mayor of Easttown, which she deserved.
Yeah, that was really, that did really well there at the Emmys as well.
Which reminds me to mention American Rust.
Yeah.
Which is a series that's on right now. And it's
Jeff
new.
Daniels.
And it's so good.
Yeah, it really is very
and
good.
And it has similarities to Mayor of Easttown, which I've mentioned.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic.
And it's just
in
getting
its own right.
rolling really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
So don't forget to watch that. Now, I want to mention something. This is a surprise for Michael.
Oh.
And he would never dream that I would mention this, nor would I.
Okay.
However, Michael deserves a surprise for that for that kugel he made.
Oh, thank you.
He deserves a surprise. And I'd like to announce that you do. I'd like to suggest that you do the following this week. While in your grocery store.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
When you see something that's a turnover.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what flavor, doesn't matter what brand, could be frozen.
Yeah.
Or not. Turn it over.
That's right.
Michael.
Stick it to the man. That's what I say. Right? Yeah.
Michael has always loved sticking it to the man.
That's right.
By turning over turnovers.
I will turn
at
over
the grocery
every
store.
Turnover. That's right.
There's something else you turn over.
I will make sure that boxes of pineapple upside down cake are upside down.
I was going to say that.
That's right. You can do that as well if you want. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was
but
something
I encourage people
else,
to do this.
There's something else directional. That you turn over. I can't remember
yeah,
what
I can't
it
remember
is.
It either at the moment.
But anything,
those are the two things I always do at the grocery store.
Anything
actually.
Directional.
Yeah.
You know, change.
Put it in its proper direction.
Put it
that's
in the
what
right
I say.
Direction.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what I say.
If you're buying cupcakes baked by Mayor of Easttown, make sure they're facing east.
I would think so.
I'm just saying. And yeah. if it says east, west on the package, then take it to the manager of the store.
Uh-huh.
And say, I don't know where this belongs, but where it is right now is not where it belongs.
No, it's like going north-south. What are you doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
the feng shui is all wrong.
Exactly. I think that the feng shui or feng shui should, in a grocery store, should have to do with what a product is named.
I would think so.
In
yeah.
part. In part. So, yeah. Anyway, it's turnover the turnovers.
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
week.
Yeah. Please do this. Yeah.
Isn't there a cereal or something that gets... I don't know.
Yeah,
right.
I don't recall. I've been doing these two things for years, actually.
Yes.
For probably 20, no, for over 21 years.
Well, it's great to know yeah. that at your age, as a full grown-ass man.
Stick it to the man. That's what I'm
saying.
That
you're still sticking it to the man, which hasn't happened since 1970.
Right. Well,
that anyone's
it's about time.
Stuck anything to the man.
It is about damn time. That's
and,
what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to say again, you know, even though Michael has said that I talk too much about certain subjects, it doesn't matter when. It yeah. doesn't matter who the man was at the time. It has never successfully been stuck to the man.
That's right.
All right. So, you know, go try again, whatever.
And well, you know, if there are enough of us, they'll start to get the point.
You think so?
Yeah.
If there are enough of you turning over turnovers.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all about solidarity.
I'm embarrassed that I brought the whole thing up. And I apologize to my inner self that is crying right now. Yes. My inner self is weeping.
Yes.
Well. And doing a shame ballet in the corner. Now, last days of summer. Are you kidding?
No. No, this is the last. Waning moments of the show.
Okay. So, here's what we need to do. We need to really glom together. This is John McLaughlin and Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah.
Singing The End of Summer. Right?
Summer is over.
Summer is over. Well, screw them. Who told them it was okay to sing about such tragic events?
Hey, you have to work through the pain somehow.
Ugh. Well, everyone stick together, stay warm. It is significantly cooler here than it was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And so the weather is sticking it to us.
I've got to bring the plants in. I've got some plants, inside plants, that have been outside all summer. They have to come in now because it was 48 degrees this morning.
Don't.
It's too cold.
Say those words. You know what? 48 degrees Fahrenheit is in a lot where I lived.
Yeah.
That was like they'd put out emergency alerts.
Uh-huh. Right. That would be the worst, coldest day of winter.
You could get frostbite. I don't know if it's ever been that cold there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Diananda, you know, that's like, what do you mean 48 degrees Fahrenheit?
Yeah. What do you mean?
All right. You know what? So it's over. So I have an attitude this week. I can't help it.
You'll be all right.
All right. We love you, everybody. And please get in touch with us about Mike's Giving and what you think a good contest would be. And we'll get back to you about Monica. And for everyone out there who is struggling with the change of seasons, please put a light on. Well, summer is over. We were tangled in the morning sun. Felt you getting colder. I knew that we would come undone. And it's back to my town, back to your life. Gray skies are blue.